This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, the guy that broke the story earlier today is the great Connor Hughes of SNY. Connor, thank you very much for coming on, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Why today?
Good point. I wish I could track down and give you guys that answer. And everyone that I've talked to has kind of been able to just kind of throw their hands up. I will say that Joe Douglas, the job that he was hired to do back when he first took over, is he had full say on everything that was going on with the Jets. And when Robert Saleh was hired, he was his boss as well. That has not been the case dating back to about January. I mean, I think a lot of the power that he had was relieved a little bit, and he was he had a say certainly in things, but it was very clear that the Jets were in the process of phasing him out. It was very clear throughout this season that Joe Douglas was no longer the primary voice within the building, and it was just a matter of time before he was out.
If he wasn't the primary voice, who was the decider and the voice with Joe Douglas being kind of demoted then?
Yeah.
I think it was collective across everybody, I think, talking. I think ownership, obviously, look, Woody Johnson's the one who takes over this team. He's the one who stepped in and fired Robert Saleh and said he fired Robert Saleh and then kind of discussed things with Joe Douglas. But this was very clearly a situation where Woody was fed up with the team. I mean, he's invested a lot of resources of his into making the Jets a contender. He believed that this was, you know, he followed what Joe Douglas said should have been done, followed what Robert Saleh said should have been done, and it wasn't necessarily working. So I think he took a much more hands-on approach this offseason. It took him on a much more hands-on approach this year, and obviously that it's backfired a little bit with the Jets being 3-8 and, 3% chance of making the playoffs?
Yeah, and how much of this is on Aaron Rodgers? And I don't say it's not his fault, but you know what I mean, the drama that he brought with the injury and then the bringing in Devontae Adams, the Aaron Rodgers effect on this is got to be somewhat huge.
Someone asked me, actually, I think we were doing an SNY thing. Janae Coakley was the one that asked me if I thought Rodgers had anything to do with the firing of Joe Douglas. And I said, absolutely not. I mean, this was, nothing there. I mean, Rodgers, I know this from talking to multiple sources. He wants to play in 2025, but whether or not he plays with the Jets in 2025 was tied to continuity and stability, meaning the general manager and the head coach.
Right.
Well, Saleh's gone, Ulbrich's going to be gone, and now they just fired Joe Douglas. So, right. So Aaron had absolutely nothing to do with this. But
how do they get out? Can they get out of this in any way? Because it's a big hit, right?
They'll be fine. I think it's. I got to look specifically at over the cap and break down the final numbers of it, but they'll be fine. It's not like a situation where they're going to be saddled with like $60 million in dead money or anything that. They'll be able to get out of that, Tiki. But this is just a situation here where I don't think Aaron Rodgers, the person, or Aaron Rodgers' interest outside of the Jets is having any kind of damning effect on this team. It's more just the play hasn't been very good. And I really go back to more than anything else, and I talked about this a ton. It's the Nathaniel Hackett thing. And I know that he's no longer the offensive coordinator, but the Jets identified a problem with the offense last offseason, and they tried to replace him this past offseason. Arthur Smith was the person they wanted to bring in. And what Arthur Smith was going to do is he was not going to be the offensive coordinator. Hackett was still going to remain that title, but he was going to oversee the entire operation. He was going to call plays because the Jets believed that Hackett had lost his fastball. That's identifying a problem and saying, we have an issue here. When they weren't able to get Smith because he made what clearly looks like the right decision and went over to the Steelers,
right,
they turned around and they were like, okay, Aaron will be able to save us. Well, Tiki, Aaron hasn't saved them.
No.
He hasn't been able to save them. And then the struggles on the offense led to Robert Saleh getting fired. Robert Saleh getting fired led to Jeff Ulbrich getting promoted. But then because Jeff Ulbrich was promoted and they never went out and got a new defensive coordinator, not
right,
the defense.
And there was nobody on the staff to do it.
Exactly. It's just a wholesale just devolving to the point of a 3-8 disaster. And it really, I think, stems back to just hoping things were going to be fine on offense.
Connor, why did they not target someone else after Arthur Smith? Because I know what you're talking about. It's the reason
they did. They just no one wanted the job, man. Right. Like it was just no one wanted the job. It was it's almost one of the reasons why the Jets were stuck getting Nathaniel Hackett after they fired Michael LaFleur. Was like, right, it was the same questions. Like, well, this is a win now mandate where if you guys don't make the playoffs, I'm out of a job already.
Right.
I'm not technically going to be the offensive coordinator. How much say am I going to have? Can I work with Aaron Rodgers, which is a big piece of this as well? Am I just going to be running his offense or my offense? And it never materialized.
Yeah. I mean, you see that.
You used a phrase, and that phrase makes me laugh and cry all at the same time. You said no one wanted the job. And that's my fear as a Jet fan moving forward. We as fans have no choice. We're stuck with this franchise. But all these other executives or coaches, they got choices. They can say no to a job and maybe wait for a better job. Is anybody going to ever want to work here?
If you're hoping for like the Ben Johnson and the Mike Vrabel, like the quintessential, no doubt, number one, number two coaching candidates out there, I would probably have some of my doubts. But what I will say, Evan, is that if you look at the Jets situation now, mm-hmm, from the past times they had the vacancies, you can't really compare them. You know, this
from
team is in a
perspective.
Much,
from a talent
correct.
Perspective. Yeah, absolutely.
And that matters. Okay. Yeah, that matters a lot. Like, again, that matters a lot. And ultimately, if you want to bring in ownership and things like that, they're happy if you're winning. The reason why Woody's pissed off and making some rash decisions is because they're not winning. Like, if they were winning, there's no problem. Robert's still here. Jeff's still defensive coordinator. Aaron's happy. It's because they're not winning. So there aren't too many other teams out there with the young talent that's on this roster where if you can get some questions answered in terms of financial, what's the budget going to look like, things like that, how much money are we going to be willing to spend, and you feel comfortable like that, people are going to want this job. Might not be the number one or number two candidate, but if three or four, they'll be there.
All right, so Woody or Christopher, I don't know who's running this team because we don't know the future of Woody Johnson, but when Christopher was running the team for those 4 years, he made some god-awful decisions, but was he less hands-on than Woody? Was he kind of, all right, I hired you guys and go do your job? What was the ownership like of him as compared to Woody over the last 4 years?
Christopher, his biggest downfall was that he was so trustworthy and so do your job, I hired the job for you to do, that he didn't step in time when things started spiraling. I mean, this guy genuinely, Evan, I don't know if you've had a chance to ever meet him. He is beloved within the organization. Mm. Players, staffers, you talk to him for 2 minutes, and I mean, you would never know what his net worth is because he's one of the most down-to-earth human beings you'll ever come across, and that comes off when you speak to him, and he has that relationship with most of the people in that building.
Right.
His problem, his first time running it, was trusting Mike Maccagnan far too long, trusting Adam Gase far too long. But he trusted Mike Maccagnan because he said, you're my general manager. I'm going to let you be my general manager. Like, I hired you to be my GM. I'm going to let you be my GM. Go do it. And then when he realized it was too late, and he fired him after the draft in free agency. I genuinely believe that if he is given the opportunity to have hands-on, day-to-day, everyday control of the Jets, and it truly is Christopher pulling the strings, he will be significantly better than what he was his first time around. Now, from my understanding, though, the GM and head coach are going to be Woody influence. Like, Woody's going to oversee that entire search process. I don't know if you'll hire, like, a firm, or I think we haven't gotten there yet with somebody to consult with. But he will be handling that process as the overseer until then he gets a position within Trump's administration, and then Christopher will take over.
Well, they don't have a president, right? I mean, a football operation. I know Jaime's the president.
No, yeah, Jaime's the president,
but,
yeah.
Do they have a football side president or executive?
No, it's basically Joe.
It's, yeah.
No, it was Douglas. Like, Douglas ran the show. Like, when they brought him over from Philadelphia, I mean, Joe, again, if you talk about, like, prospects. Like, he's the perfect prospect of a manager because, you know, from Baltimore, success in Philly, knows how to do it, football guy, longtime scout, held every job you can hold. They basically gave him full control of it. So he brought in his guys like Chad Alexander and Rex Hogan and all those dudes to help him run the show. And it's just, again, there were mistakes made at quarterback, but also some picks and things that he did that did work out pretty well. But I do think right now this was, from people I've talked to that know Joe, I mean, there is a big sense of relief that he can just go on and figure out what he's going to do next. Because like I said, for the last, you see him in the press box, you see him around the building. Right. The guy just looks sad, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ran it. He just looked very, very sad.
That's Jet fans too. I mean, Jet fans and Joe Douglas have a very similar look. We're talking to Connor Hughes of SNY, the Jets, of course, firing Joe Douglas. Now, you mentioned before the GM and coaching search will be heavy Woody influenced. Does Woody Johnson want Aaron Rodgers back at quarterback?
Oh, that's a good question. From the people that I've spoken to, I don't know if this is directly Woody. I can't speak for Woody. I haven't talked to him. But from people that I've talked to about the general idea of the direction that the Jets are headed, they believe that this organization would prefer a fresh start at GM, head coach, and quarterback, that they would prefer that. The caveat in all of this is that Christopher Johnson and Aaron have a very, very close relationship. They are very, very close. There is the possibility that they could come out and say, like, look, like they could talk to each other and figure something out. And Aaron comes back next year is realizing what you'd see in free agency or people that are cut. He's probably the best bridge you can have. But in all likelihood, Aaron's going to want to go something different. The Jets are going to want to go something different. Because, again, like Evan, Tiki, you guys know, when Aaron came here, he didn't come here because he wanted to something new. He didn't come here because he wanted to be challenged.
Right.
He left where the new offense and being challenged. He wanted something that he was familiar with. And that's why he rejoined with Hackett. That's why he brought all his buddies from Green Bay, was because he wanted to create an environment of what he used to do and what he was happy with and what he wanted to do. New GM means brand new viewpoint on the roster. New coach means brand new offensive scheme. I don't see Rodgers at 41 being like, yeah, sure, let's try something brand new. Like, right. He's going to want to go somewhere. If he plays next year, it's going to be somewhere he's familiar with.
Especially Connor, because as you know, that the offenses are, they are so different from what Aaron Rodgers runs offensively. It's night and day from what he does and what a lot of these other, you know, call
which
them.
Blows my mind. Like, I this may surprise you guys. I've never been a quarterback in the NFL before. But the one time that he was challenged and pushed in Green Bay, it was two MVP seasons and the best years he's ever had.
Agreed.
And then he was like, I want out. I'm done. I can't. I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm like, yeah, but it worked.
Right.
Like, that's what I can't wrap my brain around. But, I mean, teach their own.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we're talking to Connor Hughes about the Jets. Joe Douglas out as GM a few weeks ago. Robert Saleh was out as head coach. Now, when they fired Robert Saleh, my initial reaction as someone that didn't believe in Robert Saleh was the timing sucks. Like, this just felt so weird.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To do this, and the other thing, which turned out to be the big mistake in firing Saleh, was who they promoted. So, since this wasn't a Joe Douglas call, this was a Woody call, Was there ever discussions on, hey, maybe we should promote Boyer, special teams coach? Organizations do that sometimes when they fire a head coach. Let's not mess with the strength of our team. Were those discussions ever happening? And was it just Woody simply saying, our defense is the best, let's promote our defensive coordinator? Like, what happened in that process that led to Ulbrich being the guy?
Yeah, there was never any consideration of Boyer. There was never consideration to, like, Ron Middleton, who, remember when Saleh had COVID the one year and he had to miss a game, Ron Middleton actually won it all. I think the Jets won that game.
That's right.
Yeah, what, 1,000 winning percentage. there was never any consideration for that. I think it was that the Jets believed, and there was a resounding sentiment, whether it was online or around the league, that Jeff Ulbrich would be a really good head coach. And Jeff Ulbrich was probably, if this season went well, Jeff Ulbrich was going to be getting head coaching interviews after the year.
Yeah.
That they should give the job to Jeff Ulbrich. I genuinely believe, guys, that if they had said, okay, Jeff, you are now the head coach, and Aaron Whitecotton is being promoted to defensive coordinator, Mike Ruttenberg's being promoted to defensive coordinator, I think that you're probably in a different position. The problem is that there was never even an interim DC named. It was just like, right, okay, Jeff, you're now doing both. Slap them on the butt and say, go get them, buddy. Right. And it's just been a failure.
Well,
so, like,
I mean, Connor, we had them last week, Connor. And I asked Ulbrich, I asked him if, you know, why he didn't appoint an interim. And the thing he said was, because we were playing so well, I wanted to keep some continuity. And so he stayed in that role. The challenge is that when you become a head coach, there's a lot of stuff you got to do, right? It's just a different animal. You just don't have time. So, I mean, maybe that was his one flaw that he made, was not giving that job to someone else. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a big one. And I think the other thing that was probably underestimated as well, for all his faults and people want to rip him, Robert Saleh is a pretty damn good defensive mind.
Right.
And he didn't get the Jets job by accident. I mean, those San Francisco defenses were unreal. There were moments in just about every single game where, while he didn't step on Jeff's toes and he didn't call the defense for Ulbrich, he never took over play calling or anything like that, he would go up to Brick and make a comment or two like, hey, I'm seeing blah, 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 maybe we should try this, that.
Hmm.
Like, that's just, it's another defensive mind on the sideline to help with minor tweaks and adjustments. That's now gone.
Yeah.
And you never replaced it, and I think that also hurt him as well.
Yeah, you can see how much it hurts him. Evan and Tiki here on the Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM, HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. We're talking to Connor Hughes. All right, so when I was in high school, and I was a geek, and there was a very, 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 very attractive girl, I would still try. I would ask her out, even though I knew she ain't going to say yes.
I'm a loser.
All right, I would always give it a try. Will Woody Johnson, as the older Evan Roberts geeked him in high school, at least pick up the phone and call up Mr. Bill Belichick and say, look, Bill, I know you insult me all the time. I know you take your shots. I know you think I'm a big idiot. But would you have any interest in saving this franchise? Will that phone call take place, Connor?
I would be floored if that happened. I think he'll call Ben Johnson. I know he'll call Mike Vrabel. It wouldn't surprise me to see Mike Vrabel take the interview, although he'll have plenty of opportunities. But no, I don't think Bill Belichick. And I'll be honest with you guys, I don't think that's necessarily the route the Jets should go. I know they want a proven head coach. I know that's what they prefer, probably offensive mind with someone with head coaching experience. But no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, yeah.
In terms of a general manager, because I was throwing names out at Tiki, and look, they're the names you're always going to hear, like the young executive with successful franchises. But I think a part of me as a Jet fan says, boy, I'd like to have someone who's done it before. Like, you never knew about Joe Douglas or Mike Maccagnan or John Idzik, but, and maybe you hit. Maybe you do hire, you know, Ray Agnew from Detroit, and he's the next great general manager. So I was thinking, all right, is there someone who's done it before? And the name I'm flirting with, and I'm curious if you've heard anything about this guy in terms of getting a job, is Jerry Reese, because he had success.
Very
in New
interesting.
York. Like, he was good here. I know it didn't end great. He wasn't perfect. Giant fans were mad at him at the end. I get it. But he won a Super Bowl here, won two Super Bowls here. Is there interest around the league in Jerry Reese? And in your opinion, could you see that being a fit with the Jets?
There's a lot of interest from Jerry Reese of getting back in. I know I've heard that over the last couple of years, that he's been trying to get back in the league. He'd like another opportunity. I haven't heard of him getting any general manager interviews or anything like that, but that is a really interesting name. And it's funny you actually bring that up. I was thinking about him the other day just randomly. For no other reason, I actually wrote a story on his son when I was covering high school football.
Oh, get out.
But yeah, way back when. But he, that's a very interesting name. I know he wants to get back in, but I haven't heard of any NFL teams that have been realistically entertaining him as a general manager. It is pretty crazy when you talk about a guy with literally two Super Bowls on his resume that got fired by the Giants and was pretty much like, okay, well, you're never going to work in the league again. Like very odd. So, that's an interesting one. That's a really, really interesting one.
And it's interesting because I don't think that the Giants, you know, like blacklisted him type of thing. He was at the Giant 100 thing a couple of weeks
ago.
Yeah.
Right.
And I saw him. So it's not like he has a bad relationship with them. They just fired him as their general manager. The fact that he hasn't gotten another job after winning two Super Bowls, which is something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Not a lot of people can say.
It's peculiar, to say the least.
It is very peculiar.
He wasn't a bad guy either. There were off-field problems, like out-of-the-building issues or anything like that. He's always a good guy. Stand-up, dude.
Yeah. Do you think, look, they're 3-8. I still care, I guess, as a Jet fan. Like, I'm going to watch every Sunday, and like an idiot, I'm going to hope they win. I'm not thinking about tanking. Do you think there's going to be issues in this room? Not that they had close relationships with Joe Douglas, but they see their coach fired. They see their GM fired. They know they're 3-8. Like, do you get the sense that things are actually going to get worse?
No, I don't think they can. I think they'll just remain status quo. Like, the thing, Evan, I've talked to a couple of players in there, and I've talked to just coaches that are in there, and just to gauge the interest of the vibe, specifically after that Cardinals game, because usually when you get your butt handed to you like that, that's when you have guys start to split. You have the offense hates the defense hates the offense. There's fractions of the offense that don't get along, fractions of the defense that gets along. It just becomes a disaster after games like that to drop to 3-7. The vibe that I got was almost checked out, that it was just like,
yeah,
we're done. It's the season's over. There was all this hype. We're losing again. Just a checked out, am I saying the golf bags are in the locker already, but
how can it how can it be anything other than that, Connor? I mean, your coach is fired, your general manager is fired.
Exactly.
You've lost 5 of 6 games. It's just like
3% chance of the playoffs. They're kind of tired of hearing the quarterback's message. And it's just like, all right, we just lost to the Colts. Okay, 7 left. All right, we just lost to, 6 left. Like, they're still going to go out there and play because they're still prideful players, but it's very much 53 guys playing as 53 guys, not 53 playing as one. I mean, it's a checked out group that's just, they're just done. They're just done.
Fantastic. All right, I'm going to write this down. I'm even going to save the audio. Because sometimes Tiki and I like to make long-term predictions. In fact, a few weeks ago, we predicted the 2028 nominees for president. So we love long-term predictions. That's a real long one. As we sit here today, November 19th, 3:05 p.m., tell me the next general manager and head coach of the New York Jets.
GM, I got to look up the names again. GM, I think you're going to see them pluck from somebody that's from an organization that you like. Like, I don't think it's going to be somebody who's necessarily done it before, but I also think they're going to go out there and they're going to hire a director of football operations, and he's going to pick the GM, and I think you'll see someone come over from Minnesota. I think you'll see someone come over from not necessarily Green Bay, but a Kansas City or Detroit somewhere. It's going to be one of those things. The coach that I do believe is going to get a lot of consideration, and I could see him getting the job if he doesn't go to New Orleans, is Aaron Glenn. I think he hasn't done it before. He's not the offensive mind, but he's somebody who I think would take the job. I think he would excite the fan base. I think he would excite ownership. And a lot of people around the league really value him.
Very well respected, too, up there.
Yeah.
Especially after some years of – they had some struggle defensively, and then he got it right, and now they're balling. That's a good one.
Yeah, he's – look, he played for the Jets, so we liked him as a player. And – with first-time head coaches, it's tough to ever get mad because you just never know. Like, I could be the next great head coach of all time. I think as a fan, like, I'm hoping for someone that's done it before, but I think you're right that the overall reaction to an Aaron Glenn hire will be met with hope and optimism.
Yeah.
And
would you see Kaz's prediction? You see Brian Kaz out there? He lit Twitter on fire.
Yeah, I saw it. I know what Kaz is doing.
What did he say?
He said Matt Nagy.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Because Kaz is trying to piss us all off. Right. That's what he does. Yeah.
Well, why? Well, if you know he's pissing you off, then why do you respond to him?
I didn't. It was Connor brought it up. I was just responding in kind. I try to.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a great one. All right. My endorsement is Brian Flores. I even convinced Benigno.
I do like that a lot. I like that one a lot.
Right,
I think I wouldn't like him a lot with a young quarterback, maybe necessarily anymore, but I like him. I like him a lot. He's one of those where the guy's got a culture with him.
You know what I mean?
And no nonsense, no BS.
Connor, the only thing is, some young quarterbacks, they don't mind that.
Mm.
No, right? Correct.
A lot of, yeah. I mean, Tua obviously did, but some guys like getting coached hard.
But you know what else? Because that's going to be like the big thing that follows him. The offense wasn't good. Miami was tough on Tua. I think that sometimes when a coach fails in his first stop, and I don't even think Brian Flores was that big of a failure. Like, I thought he was pretty good in Miami, but okay, fine. Want to call him a failure, he's a failure. Guys then get reflective. They're out of the league. They join other staffs like Brian has in Pittsburgh, now in Minnesota, and they learn from their mistakes. And so my expectation would be in his next head coaching job, he's going to surround himself maybe with a stronger offensive mind that he's going to trust. I think the problem is when you have a guy like Adam Gase, who gets fired and then immediately gets another job, they don't have the time to reflect and learn from where they screwed up. Right. And I think that's one of the big differences between a guy like Gase and a guy like Flores, who I'm going to assume humbled himself to know, okay, I got to learn from what went wrong in Miami, and that's where I think he'd be a lot better in his second stop as a head coach.
I agree. I like that one a lot. I think I'd be, and again, he's a culture guy too. Like, the only thing I'm always timid with is the defensive-minded guy, because if you have the offensive-minded guy, you at least bring with him it's the same scheme year in and year out, even if the play caller changes. But right. Flores is one where I think he could be what the Jets need right now. Him or Glenn, I think, would be really, really good hires for this team.
Very solid choices. Connor, we appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Connor.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Connor Hughes of SNY. He was the first on this breaking news story.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.